Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right,
now.
Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Thanks for listening here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Brian Sexton, along with two guys you know well. Jeff Loggeman is across the table. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Tony Baselli is here this evening. Tony, how are you?
I'm outstanding, Brian. I'm always outstanding, though.
But when you turn 42 years of age and you're smiling and enjoying life, it means that you're even better tonight.
I am outstanding. 42 great years. I'd like to thank the good Lord for letting me wake up and breathe for 42 years.
It's a lot of candles.
It's a lot of not as many as you have, big boy.
No, I know. I know.
But may
I,
you get
that. I look good, though.
Yeah.
It's debatable, but yes. It's debatable.
I think that was a shot at you. But
I know exactly what the shot was.
We will leave that alone. We got a lot to talk about this evening. We sat earlier in the day and came up with what we were going to talk about. We're going to talk about Aaron Murray, obviously, and what's going on with Georgia. We'll talk a little bit about the offseason program, which begins on Monday. Talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We told you that the next 3 weeks we're going to focus on the division rivals. But late this afternoon, the Jaguars made a move. They released one of last year's starting linebackers, Russell Allen. He was cut free today, and the word is that he is not fully recovered from the concussion syndromes. That is something that was tweeted out not too long ago. He tweeted out, he's a class guy.
He's always been a class guy.
Good in the community, good in the locker room. But Russell Allen is a Jaguar no longer as of this afternoon.
Well, he's had a great career so far, and I'm not saying that it's over, but, I mean, think about it. I mean, the guy was an undrafted free agent rookie that came in here, earned a roster spot, eventually earned a starting role, got a nice contract. I don't know if in a perfect world you wanted him as a starting linebacker. I think his best role, because he was such a smart guy, the best role for him would have been as the fourth swing guy in a 4-3. But, hey, I mean, he ended up being a starter, and he did pretty well. But he's a guy that you probably wanted to upgrade.
Right. We always talked about if he was your fourth or fifth linebacker, you're in great shape.
Special team, I mean, he was a core special teams guy that you felt really good about. And on game day, he was going to be, if anybody got hurt out of the three starters, he was going to be the first one in. And you felt confident that he would not have any MEs, which mental errors, that's what we called him on defense,
right,
or have any issue at all or any shortcomings physically because he had the height, range, speed. I mean, he was a decent player.
Had more than 200 tackles 2 years ago.
Yeah, good, solid player.
Class guy. You know, hate to see it because he's a class guy, but does it really surprise you?
No, because they're trying to upgrade that. I mean, we talked about it all last year. Yeah.
You have to upgrade linebacker.
Right.
You got to get faster. You got to get more explosive.
Well, and he made $2 million plus.
For one, yes, it is a money issue, and that if somebody is not who you envision as being a starter, that's a lot of money.
Right.
Although it's really not in the NFL anymore. But I think
there's some running backs that would disagree with you.
The physical part with Russell Allen having sustained the concussions, I don't know if he's completely healed up.
Right.
This team has gone through guys that have had concussions in the past and never really recovered, and weren't able to produce. I mean, that ought to tell you why NFL players are not so excited about revealing when they do have concussions.
Oh, I wouldn't tell anyone. I'd lie to the end of time.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
I would never tell anyone I had a concussion.
And I'm not saying that's the reason why he was released. I'm just saying is that, I mean, that's a big question mark.
I wouldn't. I'd lie. I'd lie. Right to your face. No, I'm fine. Got some of the eyes.
Well, we saw in Tennessee last year, Paul Posluszny, when he took that hit, how quickly he got up and away from the doctors and went away from the trainers on the sideline. He had nothing to do with it.
He couldn't argue that one, though.
Well, no, yeah.
Yeah, he was out on his feet. You know, when I say I'm not surprised, maybe the timing, but if we had sat here at the end of August and saying that Russell was one of the last cuts, would that have surprised us?
Well, no. You're talking about a guy who was an overachiever from the beginning. Undrafted out of San Diego State a few years back, and he made the roster.
And it's almost unfortunate for him in the sense of you almost get the sense if he always was the fourth or fifth guy here and just was that his role.
Would have been here 10 years.
He would have been here never. I mean, but it's almost by starting, getting a little bit more money.
He would have been.
Expectations change, and now it's like, well, this guy's not a starter. Let's get rid of him.
He would have been a higher caliber Brent Boyer.
Wow.
He's not as good a player as Brent Boyer.
If he was a fourth or a fifth linebacker.
He is not as good a player as Brent Boyer. Sorry. No.
I'd argue against
no,
that.
No. Brent Boyer was the better. Brent Boyer is a better special teams player, and he started on nickel on a team that went to the playoffs a bunch of years. I mean, he was the nickel backer.
Who's the other option? Tom McManus, who couldn't run a 4.8.
My point is, Brent Boyer was here a long time.
That's a shot for you there, T Mac.
Right.
He played a long time. I mean, I don't want to talk bad about Russell because I like Russell. I'm sorry that he's leaving because he's a quality guy. He represents the organization. He's the guy you want on the team. But Brent Boyer was a better player. I'm sorry.
On special teams, yeah, I agree.
All the way.
Defensively, I wouldn't agree with that.
All right, so let's move along because there's another piece of news that broke yesterday, and that is that Tandon Doss, and there may be some Jaguars fans who go, who's he? Who missed the fact that the receiver who was down the depth chart a little bit but was a good special teams player in Baltimore, signed with the Jags a few weeks ago, got in some trouble yesterday in Indianapolis. Turns out that he was, according to the police report, uncooperative with a police officer who wanted him to turn over his driver's license, hang up his cell phone, and he was yelling at the cop from the car. They were stuck in a traffic jam in Indianapolis, and things escalated from there. So he took him out of the car, placed him in custody, released him later to his father.
He wasn't charged, though.
No, he's not charged. He's not going to be charged, but he was arrested.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, listen, you know, who knows what happened. But even if the cop is wrong, he's right.
Always.
If he's a cop. And so I'm not saying I like it, but the reality is you don't win that argument.
Well, and the other thing
that I can sit here and argue and be right with a police officer, and maybe I'll be right in the long run.
Argue with anybody.
I know I could, but I'm smart enough if they have a badge, I try not to, because at the end of that encounter,
right,
I'm going to lose even if I win weeks later by proving he was wrong.
Well, and evidently, again, this comes from the police report, he kept dropping his hands away from where the officer could see them, and he kept telling him to lift them up. So that had a factor in it as well.
I got a simple rule.
These guys know.
I got a very simple rule. It's pretty much if I'm out and I get pulled over, which I try not to, and the officer says, move your hands, I move my hands. Give me your license, I give him his license. It's like, yes, sir, no, sir. How quickly can I get out of this situation?
Right.
And my theory is the nicer I am, maybe the more lenient they'll be.
It doesn't sound like this is a really big deal.
No, I don't think it's a big deal.
Let's not put this in the category of Alden Smith, this week.
Bomb?
I mean,
I hear bomb.
What a dummy.
Well, how about the Niners? Boy, have they had a lousy 10 days, right? Colin Kaepernick and his alleged indiscretion.
What happened with that? I didn't hear much. Well, it's kind of died down.
TMZ came out and had a report.
Kind of quieted down.
Yeah, it's quieted down.
It's not over.
No.
Oh, no, he'll hear about it.
No, but didn't the report actually come out and say there is no sexual assault case? I mean, that's been, like, taken off the table, I thought I read somewhere.
They're not sure.
Oh, they're not sure now. I thought at one point that was taken off the table.
Yeah, it appeared that the big issue was that the girl did not remember a large chunk of the
evening. That's why you shouldn't do drugs.
That's a good point. But anyway.
Now, maybe someone slipped or something.
You know, the Niners went from that to Alden Smith, and there's a big bonus that he's due.
$9 million guaranteed.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you what,
it hadn't stopped us either. I mean, they've had the Culver incident, then you've got supposed rift between the head coach and the GM. You know, I mean, that football team, for as good as it is going to have to overcome some things.
And I'm going to say this, and if maybe I imagine this, wasn't there a report or some story about their PEDs in connection with San Francisco as well this past week? Like,
I have to go back and look. I
haven't seen
okay,
that.
But I do want to point this out.
I remember one team with PEDs. Maybe it was not the 49ers.
There was a report earlier in the week that the pre-draft screening on Alden Smith showed a higher likelihood of off-the-field trouble. He was never arrested at Missouri. He was never arrested at Missouri, right? But they said this guy could have some issues. So here's the question. He had 19 and a half sacks 2 years ago.
42 sacks in 43 games. The other way around.
One of the premier pass rushers in the game today. And San Francisco has a decision on a $9 million payment to a guy that they can't count on at all.
Yeah, but I heard a great question being asked on Sports Talk Radio. Someone said, could Lawrence Taylor play in today's NFL?
No. No, Lawrence was a mess.
Lawrence Taylor's maybe the greatest pass rusher of all time. Best outside linebacker to ever lace him up.
Arguably the greatest defensive player
ever.
That's ever played a game.
Right. And he might not be able to play today because of the off-field stuff that he engage it. And so with all that being
what
said,
was the question?
We started – could he play today?
Right, no, but what was the end – what were they trying to get at, the point that it's too strict?
Yeah, no, that just – in today's NFL, it's not right or wrong. It is what it is.
Right.
I mean, you look at a guy – I mean, there's questions in San Francisco. Is Alden Smith worth it? The guy has 43 sacks in 42 games. I mean, the guy is a beast.
And before anybody
– I mean, you would have never asked the Giants. I promise you never had a conversation. And Bill Parcells and the owners of the Giants never looked at each other and says, is Lawrence Taylor worth having here? I mean, that was never a question. That is being asked with Alden Smith.
If he weren't a premier player, he would have been cut.
Right.
Already.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, that's not even a question. But the simple fact is he's a great football player. He changes the game.
Yeah, he's good.
And right now he's on a rookie deal, so he's very inexpensive.
Old rookie deal, though, so it's a little bit –
it's still – I mean, for what Alden Smith would be worth.
Right. No, you're right about that.
It's still inexpensive.
So if you're San Francisco, do you write the check? Or is there a mechanism where you can talk to his agent and maybe push that bonus back?
No, he might be – guys, he might be suspended for a good portion of the year. The league is going to do something. He is getting suspended. This is like multiple times. Not only that, there's still legal
from the
case
guy who
pending.
Was shot at his house.
That got shot at his house.
If you're the team, you're not going to pick up the
you
option
can't pick
until
it up.
You
he,
know.
He might not play. What if he gets suspended for 16 games or 8 games? I mean, this is a guy who rehab. I mean, multiple DUIs. I mean, this is not like, hey, okay, this is, he was a smart aleck at the airport and said he had a bomb. But he's never had issues before. Yeah, okay, it's not the best, but we'll get through it.
Hey, back to something you said. This is a team that's talented, and they've got a lot of draft picks, and they've done well with their salary cap, but you said they've got to overcome some things. These are some pretty big things.
Big things.
The quarterback and the best pass, two of the five premium positions are all of a sudden in a bit of turmoil.
Yeah, but I think they're going to be able to do it. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches, hands down, in the National Football League.
Yeah, we've seen that.
We'll see.
I mean, he won at Stanford. He's won at San Francisco. He's won with Alex Smith. I mean, I think was a major reason as to why Alex Smith turned into a good player who the Kansas City Chiefs said, hey, we'll take him.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? I mean, have you seen anything that he's ever done besides get on your nerves a little bit for some of his, you know, childish antics at times and maybe out of control arguing at officials or people? But
I didn't get on my nerves.
He's a great coach. Personality. He's one of the ultimate competitors, and he was that way when he was a player.
Can I take us back? Because I don't want to make sure we make this clear. We started this with Tanner Doss off the field issue. We're not comparing Tanner. I mean,
No. We left that way behind.
I just want to make sure everyone's listening. Yeah. Tanner Doss, I mean, it's a mistake. I don't think it's a big deal.
But boy, have they had a tough 10 days in San Francisco. And for people who think, well, it's just a couple players, that really affects an organization. I mean, it really gets down into an organization.
Your franchise quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it gets down into everybody.
Rusher,
They hear about it in the front office. You have seen it around here before when they had trouble.
What's bigger? Alden Smith's incident. Or your franchise quarterback,
easy quarterback,
in a room, right, with a girl that's got, you know, some sexual questions, and then they're in a room and they're drinking and smoking dope.
It's a quarterback. Yeah. It's way bigger.
No doubt.
Yeah. Way bigger. It's not even close. I mean, San Francisco won games without Alden Smith last year. They had that outside the defense end for Auburn, the rookie last year, LeMay, or I can't pronounce his name. He's not Alden Smith, but he's pretty good.
But he had success.
And, I mean, it's Kaepernick. I mean, that one could kill you. I mean, what happens if the league tests him and he gets popped?
Which I'm sure that the league knocked on his door.
They probably did. What if he goes into the program and it's out 4 games? I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe not. I mean,
I would be shocked if the NFL were not on Colin Kaepernick's door within 48 hours saying,
oh, yeah,
after that event,
sir, here's this cup and we need a sample.
And we're going to watch you very closely as you do it.
Why not?
All right, folks. You can join Tony, Dwayne Grotz, Zane Beatles, The Roar,
right,
Jackson DeVille, the D-Line. They're going to build momentum for this season at the Nocatee Farmers Market Saturday from 10 till 2.
This party.
Jaguars Stand United Pep Rally is a day of family, friendly fun and excitement. Food, interactive and inflatable games and prize giveaways. The rally is free and open to the public. That's this Saturday, the 19th, from 10 to 2 at the Nocatee Farmers Market. Come out and share. What will you be eating?
I don't know. I love
farmers market.
I love farmer markets, though.
There you go.
It'd be fun. It'd be a good time. Great, great, exciting time. Kicking off the rallies for the Jaguars this year. It'd be fun.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back and talk about Aaron Murray's workout this week, the offseason program that begins on Monday. And at the bottom of the hour, Mike Wells from ESPN.com joins us to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday from the HenneyAutos.com studio on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back in. By the way, you can join us at the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Day Party presented by PRI Productions, which is here at Everbank Field. You'll hear from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley right after they make their pick. Interactive games, prizes, great ticket and gear offers, food trucks, you name it, the Roar, Jackson, and more. Admission's free, but you have to register and present your ticket for admission. So if you'd like to grab that ticket, visit jaguars.com/draftdayparty, the draft, 3 weeks from tonight for the very first round.
Yeah.
It's a primetime Thursday night. What is it, Matt? May 8th?
May 8th, right. May 8th. 2 weeks later than it normally would
Fantastic.
Have been. By the way, do you know that the reason why it was pushed back was because Radio City Music Hall, Easter obviously is late this year, and Radio City Music Hall had a big Easter production that was canceled. But it was too late then for the NFL to adjust
the
calendar.
So are they going back to normal next year, or are they going to stay late?
They don't know. I mean, I don't think a lot of people like the 2 weeks.
It's too long.
But I think the commissioner wants it because now you've got the Super Bowl in February, and you've got the calendar year ending,
no,
the free agency.
Wait a minute here. The money people want it where it's at right now.
Yeah, the money people do because it's
in May.
It stretches it.
It's television money.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. No, I understand that.
And May's
that.
A sweeps period.
That's right.
No,
that's
I agree
the key.
I want it in April.
Well, and then the football people would like to have it in early April so right. they can go ahead and get
and
their
more
guys
time with the players.
And start acclimating them to their environment and their system and everything else. But money's going to win that argument every time.
I'm with the football guys in this one. It's just it's forever. Three more weeks.
I'm with the money guys on that one.
You like it later.
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, all you've done is extended the conversation.
Yeah. That's what they've done.
Of the draft and have made the NFL on SportsCenter and every other sports talk show a bigger deal for a longer period of time. Because if you end the draft and then you move into it, what do you start talking about? I mean, then it starts to become more of a regional / team issue instead of a national story.
Well, you can see now we're starting to get through the very end of the pro days. Georgia had theirs this week. Gus Bradley was the only head coach up there. Aaron Murray, a couple of months removed from his ACL surgery that he injured last year against Kentucky, looked like he threw well. Positive reviews. And that's a guy, Jeff, I know you love.
Loved him. Loved him on
and
film.
And you saw him against South Carolina.
Oh, he's outstanding. He's not very big, though.
No, he's just over 6 feet.
But I'm going to throw the same argument that you threw at me.
I liked him. I'm just
so is Drew Brees.
Oh no, I agree with you. I mean, he's
not saying he's Drew Brees.
No, but he's a dynamic guy. He's just not that big. I don't think he has a great body. He's a little pudgy. Like if you see him, like not fat, he's not fat, but just he's a thicker individual.
Well, what were you when you were coming out of college?
I was fat.
You were a pear.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, trust me. I saw you when you came in.
I look good.
You're thick.
I look good.
Let me ask you a question. How much does the ACL drive him down the board? I mean, would he be, in your estimation, a third round pick, but the ACL makes him a fifth round pick?
No, I don't think he falls that far. But I think he could drop around.
Okay.
You know, just because.
So where do you think he is? Fourth, fifth round guy?
I think without the ACL, he was probably a late 2-3, and I think with the knee, he's probably a 3-4.
Who you take, both ACL guys, him or Mettenberger?
Well, I guess it depends.
I like Mettenberger just from his
what
size.
Kind of quarterback you want. Yeah, I mean,
only guy who can sling it.
He's a pocket passer.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And you
would think the ACL would affect him less because of the type of quarterback he is. I mean, Aaron Murray could scamper around a little bit. He ran the ball well.
He's only 90 days, Mettenberger, 90 days removed from his ACL. So.
And he did some stuff, too. I mean,
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so. No, those guys, I mean, they need to, you know, they're trying to proclaim themselves
they don't need
ready,
to.
You know. And it's all PR. And I understand why they're trying to say that. Hey, I'll be ready for OTAs. I'll be ready for
Whoa.
Hey, look, I don't care if you're Superman. But when you have an ACL, Tony's had one, I've had one. They take a year. That's, I mean, to get ask RG3. I mean, if you're doubting it, ask RG3. I mean, Adrian Peterson was the freak exception.
Yeah, I always say I started a game. Like it was 8.5 months opening day after my surgery. I didn't feel normal until week 8. So basically 2 months later. So 10.5 months. And I played offensive line.
Yep.
I mean, so it's different. I mean. We're better athletes than these guys. But the Mettenberger and Murray, no one cares. They're not. No team is drafting them so they can be ready for OTAs.
Or be a starter.
Right.
Or be a starter. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, I'm with Jeff. It's PR. But it's bogus. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just get ready. I mean, I think teams are four. How do I say this? It's almost some team's going to get a deal on one of those two guys because of the blown out knee. So some team's going to look back and it's like, I'm glad you blew your knee out because you went down further and I got a good point. Because I think one of those two, if I'm flipping a coin, one of them is going to be a good player. I don't know which one, but one's going to be a good player.
If you've seen the mock drafts for what they're worth. If the Jaguars' interest in Jimmy Garoppolo, who was on that Senior Bowl squad.
North-South.
If they're interested in him and Murray is sitting there, you know, in around the fourth or fifth where they've got multiple picks, does it make sense from your perspective to do what Jimmy Johnson did the year he took Troy Aikman and grabbed Steve Walsh?
Grab another one
because, as you said, someone's going to get a deal because they grabbed one of these guys.
Why not?
Who it's going to hurt short-term the player, but long-term help the team.
I'm all for it.
I am too.
I think you draft as many quarterbacks as you can. I've been saying this for a long time. You draft a quarterback every year. And I'm not saying you draft one high, but I think the Rob Johnson potential
is
always there for a quarterback. I mean, yeah, you may end up losing a couple picks or wasting a couple picks, but maybe at some point you're going to hit the lottery and end up having a guy that's got some serious trade value down the road because he's going to see a little action and a team's going to fall in love with him. And they're going to be willing to give up a high pick.
They'll overpay. Jeff's right.
That's the nature of the position. You roll the dice on the quarterbacks and you overdraft them.
All right. Well, Murray seems to be one of those guys, and maybe it's just because he's pseudo local.
That was one of the biggest downfalls of this franchise.
Yeah, they didn't do it forever.
For many years. How many quarterbacks did they ever draft? I mean, prior to Byron.
Well, yeah,
Jonathan Quinn and David Garrard.
Yeah, actually, Tom did it a little bit. Tom actually drafted. It was after Tom.
Then it was none.
It was zero.
Yeah. Rob Johnson, John Quinn, David Garrard. So he drafted three.
And two of the three paid off.
Right.
And how many years was that? In eight? Tom's here for
eight,
right?
Yeah, Tom was here for eight seasons. Yeah.
No, he drafted other guys too, but those were the kind of the ones that panned out. Then he drafted
another quarterback.
I thought there was a seventh rounder. The kid from South Carolina.
He was Tannehill. No, he was an undrafted
free agent.
Free agent. No, Tom only drafted three.
I mean, to me, at least every other year. And if you don't, I think you're making a mistake.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, though. I mean, you say, and I agree with Jeff for the most part, but don't forget, it's a team that still has a lot of holes and needs players, needs bodies. I mean, needs more starters. And so it's a fine line. I mean,
but I'm not saying
if Aaron Murray, but I mean,
I'm not saying top four rounds.
No, I'm with you. But what the mock draft says, Garoppolo is going to be taken in the second round. Let's say that's true.
Right.
I mean, if you're sitting there at five with they have three in the fifth round, do you use
one?
Murray? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm almost it goes against what I'm saying as far as needing more players. But boy, it'd be hard to turn down. How do he look? He looked pretty good throwing.
Yeah.
Too. I mean,
so. I saw a little bit of video.
The report said he got a little fatigued, but his completion percentage in a structured workout was very high.
Better than Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, so.
And they had to move around. By the way, since we're talking about quarterbacks, that's the guy that is now the X factor because it appears that he has not done very well in some other individual situations.
Who's that?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Your guy.
No, that's
your favorite quarterback.
And so the question mark is.
That has not changed.
You're still picking him high? You're still picking him first off the board?
No, I don't think first off the board, but the film is the truth. I mean, it's hard to discount the film, but it definitely will factor in done individual workouts.
Florida.
Plenty, buddy.
And the Sugar Bowl. Hey, he had a great game against Florida.
That was the game that we watched.
You know what? They've lost 9 of 13 games. They're really good.
What that
Florida team? No, same team lost 9 of 13 games.
No, that Florida team had a couple of first-round picks on defense, and he played well.
They're not. I mean, Florida's
okay,
average.
But it's still Florida. And
the bowl game.
Better than Kansas. You know,
it's a bowl game. It doesn't mean anything.
It's better than Central. Well, not last year.
Come on, I played in bowl. We played in bowl games. It's half the teams are. You know, out hitting the clubs.
Yeah, but Florida has.
Come on, Jeff.
Florida has.
Remember, Virginia never went.
Totally disagree with you.
But Florida has such talent.
We did go to one, by the way, when I was there.
Of athleticism.
It was so early.
It's not like he's playing Tulane. You know what I mean? I mean, you line up against Florida even in a bowl game.
It's one game, guys.
And he played very well.
Come on.
I still like him.
You're still taking him first.
No, I wouldn't take him first.
First quarterback.
How about this? What if he
slides? What quarterback you taking now?
What if he slides?
I don't know. I'm still mulling that. I got 3 weeks to make my mind up.
Well, what if he slides? Would you move back into a position if you had to trade up to get him?
No. I'd have to give up picks.
I'm not giving up picks to take him.
Okay.
You know, I mean, to me, it's got to just fall in there right. But I mean, his completion percentage, his accuracy, his decision making, and I'm going to say this again. I mean, he has been extremely impressive watching him on film.
Okay, wait a second though. He has a slight body. Let's agree on that. Not the best build.
His ankles are small.
He's slight body.
I mean, come on.
Okay, but I'm just overall slight. And the report is.
And Peyton Manning has a high forehead. Does that impact his throwing?
We always used to talk about how Byron Leftwich's hands were so small that he soap dished the ball.
Well, he was. You want to go by that?
I mean, small feet.
Great pick.
But I'm just giving validity to the fact that he's slight. That's it.
No, my point of saying the other side of it is, he scored a 20 on the Wonderlic.
23.
No, 20.
23.
The report I read was 20.
23.
Double check that.
I will.
Double check that. My point is, in an era where you, like, back when you took the one, did you study for it?
I didn't know you could.
I didn't either. I mean, I showed up that day. I didn't even know what I was doing. I mean, it's like, here's the test. I'm going to go, I'll fill stuff out.
Before we break, let's end the quarterback conversation.
But my point is, in an era where you study for it, I mean, you'd expect, I mean, quarterback's the one position. I mean, don't you care what the Wonderlic is?
See Dan Marino's Wonderlic score.
That was back when they didn't study.
Here, FoxSports.com says Bridgewater had a 20. But it also says that Manziel had a
32. 20.
Well, it said they had 28 in this story.
Oh,
so
the one I read 32.
I'll look. Real quick, let's wrap it up.
All right.
Did you see Mike Holmgren's comments to Peter King this week where he said, if you're one of those franchise, one of those needy teams, those franchises that need the quarterback, you have to take one of these quarterbacks?
No, you don't.
You have to.
One of the top ones? Was he referring to the top three?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
He was saying, if you're the Jaguars, if you're the Browns, if you're the Raiders, if you're the Vikings, you have to.
No, you don't. You have to pick a quarterback, but you don't have to pick one of those three.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Wells from ESPN.com. He covers the Colts. We'll also touch on the offseason program, which begins on Monday. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday, live from the HannityAutos.com studio here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
But don't forget to lock in your seats for 2014 or risk losing them after April 25th. Check your inbox for an email linking you to your personal online brochure or call your account manager. You can reach that person at 904-633-2000. Don't miss out on great Jags 365 year-round benefits. The deadline is April 25th, coming right up. So renew your tickets today. Brian Sexton back with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli. We are efforting to grab Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for ESPN.com. Before we get him in, let's just turn to the obvious, and that's the beginning of the offseason program on Monday. Last year, Gus and his staff were working to figure out what they have. Second half of last year, right, they were able to create something which said, this is who we are and how we do things. So what does the opening of the offseason program mean to this team on Monday?
It's going to be a meet and greet right off the bat. I mean, look at all the free agents that they've acquired. It's going to take time for everybody to get to know each other. And it's pretty interesting how that typically works, when, especially since the advent of free agency, to where every year in off season, it kind of, the dynamic starts to form of leadership, of who's setting the tempo, of relationships between players. And this team is going to have turnover. There's a lot of guys that were added on, and I'm sure that there's going to be plenty more. You got 11 draft picks coming in, and I'm sure that there's going to be many more roster changes to come that are on what I call the bottom of the roster. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
but it's good to get them all in.
And let's make sure there's probably half of them or more that are already here that have been working out. I mean, so it's a group that's been working, because they can work out on their own,
right,
without supervision. So there's a large group already here. But just right. I mean, it's meet and greet. You meet your teammates. I'll never forget in 96 when we came back after that first year and we signed Leon Searcy. I don't think I had a full conversation with Leon until about the second day of training camp.
That's Leon.
but it is a time to get everyone together and figure out who's on your team, because those are the guys you're going to go with into the season.
Well, and I was watching, what do they call that, on Jaguars.com Live on the Wednesdays? They had Luke Jokel on, and JP and John were asking him about Shane Beatles, and they had spent some time already together in the workouts here, and for two guys, they're going to work next to each other. I mean, I know it's not football-related drills, but what does it mean to have your veteran left guard working with your left tackle that's had one quarter at left tackle in the NFL.
I think it helps. I'll say this. I remember, I think it was for 4 years that Ben and I played next to each other. And that was a great comfort. And Ben and I became friends. We did stuff. We saw each other. Our families were friends. And so you have that guy that's next to you, and you start communicating, working together. It makes it much easier. Multiply that for Luke Jokel. You got a guy in Zane Beatles coming off Denver Broncos winning organization, Super Bowl, AFC titles, experience, a guy who's only played a quarter of left tackle in the NFL. I think that's very valuable and allow Luke to lean on Zane.
Here's a question. Chris Clements was a guy that was not a vocal leader room locker, but Everybody in Seattle said he was the guy who set the tempo, set the expectation level. Well, so what is a veteran guy coming in? Can he start that process, or do you have to wait until training camp?
I think a lot of times the guy that isn't the vocal leader is sometimes the best leader. Now, I played with two Hall of Famers in New York, and I played with them at the end of their careers, Ronnie Lott and Art Monk. And Ronnie was vocal. You know, Ronnie was not afraid to, you know, speak up and, you know, try to motivate guys, you know, in the huddle, in the locker room, on the field. And Art was this guy that never said two words. And I mean, I grew up watching Art Monk, you know, so, I mean, when I got to play with Art Monk, I was thrilled, you know, and wanted to pick his brain and find out what made him great. Well, I didn't need to pick his brain. I mean, the greatest thing he ever did was show me. I mean, Art Monk was one of the most tireless workers you would ever, ever watch. And he led more by that than he did by words.
So I think Chris could start the process about how he approaches the offseason as a professional, how hard he works. But I think there's something about when you get into pads, and I'll go back to it. And I don't like saying nice things about Jeff because it really pains me. But I remember in 95, Jeff was the leader. I mean, he was the leader of the team in those early years. I mean, that was his role when he was brought in, and for whatever reasons, the union rep, but that was, I mean, he was just one of the leaders, maybe probably the main guy. And I'll never forget, all through minicamp, you know, we go about it and we're working against each other, and then no pads, you're working against each other. I'll never forget the first day of pads, he came out.
Turned it up.
And I remember as a young rookie, I mean, I don't think he had beaten me in one-on-one at anything until the first day of pads. So I'm out there just working, and he hit me right in the chin and whipped me, and I was like, oh, okay. This is how it works in the NFL. I mean, that's important. So you have guys like that, like a Chris Clements, who can set the tone of how you work, the attitude, the toughness, and I think that's what he'll bring to this team.
What about from Gus's perspective? You know, he built his culture, the way that he coaches. Now you bring Red Bryant and Chris Clements in. Anything to that? Well, I mean, are they coming to pour fuel on the fire?
The more messengers you have, you know, as far as with your message, as if you're Gus Bradley, the better it is for Gus. And so Gus doesn't have to be the one that carries it every day. So I think Clemens can clearly carry that. And I think Red Bryant's going to get challenged this year. You know, from watching Red Bryant last year in Seattle, and what was he making in Seattle? $5-6 million a year, maybe a little bit more than that. I think he needs to be challenged this year, and I'm sure he will be by Gus. I mean, his best years were when Gus was his defensive coordinator and his coach. And Red Bryant, I thought last year, I thought he fell off a level. It looked like his conditioning wasn't quite where it needed to be. His performance probably wasn't where it was at when he had Gus. So I think Gus's challenge is to get Red Bryant challenged to take Red Bryant's preparation and everything to a new level so that Red can carry that to the rest of the team as well.
I'm going to discount. I agree. More people carrying the message, the better. And obviously, Chris Clemens and Red Bryant aren't going to hurt that because they know Gus.
Right.
But the genius of Gus Bradley's leadership, I think he already has about 50 guys in that locker room who carry the message. And he did an outstanding job with a young team. And that's the geniusness of, I think, his leadership style and what he's able to do. And obviously, Chris Clemens and those guys will reinforce that, but I think he already has done a pretty good job with that message.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to focus on the Colts, free agency, the draft, all of that in the offseason for the AFC South champs with Mike Wells from ESPN.com. Folks, you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. We're back after this from the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday is on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, this portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Fanatics.com. We've got about 15 minutes left in the program this evening, and as we told you last week and earlier in the program, next 3 weeks we'll spend some time, obviously, looking at the other teams in the AFC South, and we'll start at the top where the Colts are the division champs, and ESPN.com obviously has great reporters covering every team. Covering the Colts is Mike Wells. Hey, Mike, thanks for taking some time. I imagine you're a busy guy this time of year.
Hey, how you guys doing down there in Florida?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Hey, so the first thought on the Colts is give us a grade on their free agent acquisitions and the guys that they're most excited about.
You know what? You know, obviously the Colts went into free agency with having, you know, the fourth most salary cap space. I give general manager Ryan Grigson a lot of credit. He didn't just go in and all of a sudden open up the wallet and start free spending on guys. I give him a solid B. You know, and the only reason I don't give him a higher grade than a B, I feel like they should at least made a run at Alex Mack. You folks down there in Jacksonville know all about Alex Mack with the Jaguars trying to get him. But I feel like the Colts should have made a run at him because of the interior offensive line problems that they have. And they need a center to team with Andrew Luck for the next decade or so. But I like the moves they did, you know, re-signing Vontae Davis. That was their number one priority. Getting Hakeem Nicks. Nicks was a back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver. He won the Super Bowl with the New York Giants. Reggie Wayne, you don't know how many more years he's going to play. I like that pickup to go with Nicks. And obviously, T.Y. Hilton. I think Wayne, he won't be the same Reggie Wayne, but he'll still be effective. The good thing about him, he's definitely a possession receiver. I like that move. And I haven't even talked about Arthur Jones, the defensive lineman that they signed to play with Baltimore his first 4 years. You can use Jones at defensive tackle and a defensive end, so now they can rotate guys along the line and be fresh in the fourth quarter. And getting there, DeQuell Jackson, a linebacker from Cleveland, I think he's on the, you know, on the decline of his career, but when you team him with the Robert Mathis, Jarrell Freeman, at linebacker, I think that is going to help the Colts out in that situation, because he's an every down linebacker, and he'll give experience at that position. And getting Amon-Ra Bradshaw, nobody thought Bradshaw would re-sign with the Colts because of the neck injury that he suffered, and you would think that he would want to be an opportunity to get a lot more snaps. And now you're going with, you know, essentially a three-headed monster in Bradshaw, who was their best right back last season in only three games. You got Mick Ballard, who rushed for almost 900 yards as a rookie. And I think this offseason is going to be great for Trent Richardson. I think, you know, he's got a full offseason in, and I think he'll never live up to the expectations of being the number three overall back, but I think he'll be a solid running back for the Colts.
Well, let's stay right there with the running backs. You talk about Ahmad Bradshaw. He struggled staying healthy pretty much his whole career, some nicks and injuries with his feet, and now the neck last year. Are they concerned at all? I mean, Trent Richardson was a complete bust as far as trading for they gave up a first-round draft pick. So, first off, are they kicking themselves for making that trade? Because now they have no first-round pick in this year's draft. And how comfortable are they with the backfield?
Well, that's the thing. All three running backs have question marks. Obviously, like you just alluded to, Bradshaw has never remained healthy in his career. I don't even think there's a word to describe Trent Richardson. I think you saying bust is being polite. That's how bad Trent Richardson was last season. Nick Ballard is coming off a torn ACL. So you got three question marks with those three. The one good thing is, and I really think this is the only one good situation out of it, is that you don't need those guys to be every down backs. And I think that'll help the Colts out. You know, a lot of people are ready to throw in the white towel on Trent Richardson. I'm probably one of the few that doesn't believe it's time to do that yet. I think if he struggles again next season, I think Ryan Grigson's kind of kicking himself with one foot in his butt. But I think if he really struggles, he's going to find a way to use both his feet to kick him in the butt. Because like you said, you gave up a first-round pick, and the Colts they still have to find a replacement at safety for Antoine Pathé. It would be a good time to have a first-round pick. And also to get, you know, essentially you could draft a young offensive lineman in the first round. So there is a lot of question marks with those three, but like I alluded to earlier, you know, none of those guys will be every down backs for the Colts next season.
How much heat is Grigson taking in Indianapolis for that trade?
I think he started taking heat after probably the third or fourth game, and he really, a sign that it was a bad move for the Colts with their trade is when Donald Brown replaced Trent Richardson. I believe it was like week 11 or week 12 in the season, and Donald Brown, who never lived up to expectations as a former first round pick, I think that's when the heat really heated up on Grayson. That's partially to say, you know, that's the first line of saying, all right, you know, gave up a first round pick for a backup running back, and that's what Trent Richardson became, a backup running back when he got demoted.
Well, Mike, getting Hakeem Nicks certainly is going to help a very talented young quarterback in Andrew Luck. But the guy that I really fell in love with his rookie year was Dwayne Allen, who ended up on the injured reserve last year, the tight end from Clemson. Now, I know that Kobe Fleener was the first-round pick in that draft, but to me, Dwayne Allen was more impressive. How is his health and his recovery?
As Allen said on the flagship station right here in Indianapolis, is that he's basically 110%. And you're right. Fleener may have been drafted in front of Allen, but Allen was the better tight end their rookie year, and he's going to be the better tight end. Fleener is more of a catching tight end. Allen, you ask Allen to come out and block, pass protect, or run block, or go out and, you know, go across the middle and come up with make a catch, he'll do it. He is a better complete back. And the thing about what I like about Dwayne Allen, I only covered him for a short period of time before he injured his hip, is that he's using that slight of being, you know, dropping in the draft his rookie, you know, coming out of Clemson as motivation. He feels like he was the best tight end in that draft. But he didn't run a great 40 during the combine, and teams held it against him. And he proved during his rookie season that he's going to be up there. He's going to be one of the best tight ends in the league.
Has there been any talk in the offseason about them opening up the offense? I mean, last year they tried to go to this ground and pound with their new offensive coordinator, the former head coach of Stanford, but you've got probably the most talented young quarterbacks in the National Football League. Have there been any talk about letting him air it out a little bit more?
Pat Hamilton is set in his ways, and Chuck Pagano talked about it down in Orlando, the owners' meetings. They're still going to be a run-first team, which I don't agree with because, like you said, Andrew Luck is one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and his arm saved the Colts the past two seasons. His arm saved them. So you got to air it out. Now, I think getting Rod Chudzinski, the former Cleveland Browns coach, is going to be an assistant to Chuck Pagano. I think that's going to be huge. I think you got an offensive mind. And if you can have a little bit of a running game, the goal to kind of open things up, to set things up with the play action, because you're going to have Nicks, T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, Kobe Fleener, and Dwayne Allen to pass the football to, that's a lot of options. And that's going to allow Andrew Luck to have a field day. But it's a matter of if Hamilton's going to, you know, get out of his ways and don't believe that they're Stanford anymore and let Luck do what he does best, and that's win with his arm.
Mike, you talk about the run game struggled. Andrew Luck got hit way too much. That offensive line was average at best last year.
You're being nice.
Okay.
They were brutal.
Yeah, they were not very good. They didn't do much in the offseason, free agency, like you talked about, doing too much to improve it. I got to believe in the draft that's what they're going to focus on, is the offensive line.
I think the two areas they need to look at with the draft is the offensive line and its safety. Because, like I said, they got to find a replacement for Antoine Bethea, who signed with San Francisco. Now you're looking at Delano Howell or Sergio Brown starting alongside LeRon Landry as safety. So I think you got to look there, and you got to look on the offensive line, because it's either going to be Phil Costa, who they signed from Dallas. Costa got demoted, beat out by a rookie last year, or Khalid Holmes, who, despite all the offensive line problems with Indianapolis, played a total of 12 snaps. Not 12 quarters, but 12 snaps as a rookie. Those two are the two guys you're counting on to be, you know, the anchor for Andrew Luck. In the other guard position, Donald Thomas will be back. He'll start at one of the guard spots, and it'll be between Hugh Thornton and Lance Lewis at the other guard position. So there's still question marks at guard and at center, and until the Colts improve that area, you're going to be wondering, you know, is Andrew Luck still going to be running for his life?
Who do you envision the Colts drafting? The 26th pick that they had is now in the possession of the Cleveland Browns, so the Indianapolis Colts don't select until 59th. What position, or do you have any idea of who they're favoring towards?
You know what? I know people hate to hear when teams say they'll take the best player available. I truly believe they will do that. The best player available, if it's the safety, offensive line, or getting a young receiver to kind of get ready so Reggie Wayne can groom him for when he retires. I think they're just going to go with if they ever need that position, they'll take that player. And you know, people ask, you know, who are they looking at 59? You know, it's hard enough to project who they're going to take. Teams are going to take in the first round after the top 10. To try to get at the bottom half of the second round, I think it's nearly impossible to project who they'll take.
All right, Mike Wells from ESPN.com. He covers the Colts. Thanks for the insight, Mike. Enjoy the rest of the offseason.
All right, fellas. You guys have a good one now.
You too. All right, Mike Wells there. Next week, we'll look at the, did we say Titans?
Tennessee Titans.
All right, Tennessee Titans next week. That's obviously a very interesting situation there. You know, we ended last season with a conversation on Jaguars Thursday about the Colts and how good they were. And
well, it was really about how good their quarterback was.
Well, that's where it went, right?
Yeah. Their roster is very average. Very average.
How much, in your estimation,
with
have
the exception
they
of Robert Mathis?
Yeah, I mean, Vontae Davis, they gave $39 million
to? Well, to me, I think the greatest improvement that they can make from last year to this year is to just get rid of this philosophy that you're going to be ground and pound with Trent Richardson. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, he was, what, a top five pick? And then they trade him away and get a 26th pick in next year's draft, first-round pick. I mean, it didn't work. It didn't work in Cleveland. I mean, why would a team in the Cleveland Browns with no quarterback trade a starting running back?
He was top three.
I mean, that's crazy. So the greatest improvement that they can make is commit to Andrew Luck and let him do what he does best. I mean, the reason that they ended up winning some games was because they would start with ground and pound. It didn't work, and then they let Andrew Luck bail him out. And if you started the game with Andrew Luck doing what he does best, and that's throwing the football, I've got a better chance, in my opinion.
They
got
to protect him, though. That offensive line's atrocious. I was trying to be nice to Mike because he's an indie guy, but they're no good. I mean,
well, one of the reasons they're no good is because they would get behind.
No, and even then, when they were ahead, they're no good.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but I think if you keep teams guessing a little bit and throw the ball a little bit on first and second down, it's less likely your quarterback's going to take hits, and he didn't do a lot of that.
I look at the two lines of scrimmage. They're not very good. I mean, outside of Robert Mathis, I mean, they're not. Their front seven isn't anything great. Their offensive line's not is below average. I mean, Jeff's right. They got Andrew Luck. They have some nice receivers. I mean, I see this team as a team. I don't know how much better they can get until they start improving the quality of players around
the big guys
around Andrew Luck.
Well, when Peyton Manning was there, they didn't spend high draft picks on offensive linemen.
Well, they did there. I mean, they got a first round pick left tackle. I mean, he was a good solid player.
But yeah, listen, they had Jeff Saturday was a very good player. They had Tarik Glenn for a lot of those years was a very good player. I mean, they had good solid players.
I like their draft pick. I believe he was from Georgia. Yeah, starting left guard Hugh Thornton.
Hugh Thornton.
I think he was a solid player. I think
he's the best one.
He's going to get better. The left tackle, solid. They need some help at center and then moving to the right side. But they did sign Phil Costa from the Dallas Cowboys.
He's not a backup.
Not sure what role he's going to provide. But, I mean,
they cut Samson Satelli, and they didn't even make a run at Alex Mack, so maybe he's the starting center.
Maybe. And that might be the best fit for him.
All right. So next week we talk about the Titans and get you 2 weeks close. Well, a week closer, 2 weeks from the NFL draft. Guys, thanks so much. Have a happy Easter.
You too.
Enjoy the weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio is finished, folks. Take care.